It's got to be perfect. It's got to be worth it. Yeah. Too many people take second best.
Hello, everybody. I am Tim.
Fred and I'm Fred.
Fred. And what's more, we have a very important guest today, which is very exciting for all of us, Joanne Richards. She's an extremely famous author. She is actually a famous author. I think she's more famous than Fred, actually, if I'm being honest.
She might be more famous than me, in sales, certainly.
Well, I'm very honored to have been invited onto your podcast.
Okay, well, thanks very much. We'll sort of withhold judgment until the end when we hear your songs and your explanations. Well, and this is not a competition, of course, but there is a winner.
Yes, and I know you men, you are always so competitive, especially around music. So I know you'll try and kick my songs off.
Yes, we won't vote for one of your songs, that's for sure.
Well, because normally we sort of chat a bit and talk about what we are listening to and so on, but we're going to drop that this week in honor of our guest, who would be bored by it probably. So we're just going to spring straight in. The challenge, which was actually Joanne's idea, is the perfect song for preparing you to do something difficult. Joanne, maybe you can tell us why you chose that and what you would be looking for in a song to G you up before you go and, jump in the cold water.
I hate confrontation. It always makes me want to burst into tears, embarrassingly. So whenever I had in my head one of those interactions that you dread, like breaking up with someone or firing someone or having one of those difficult conversations with a good friend. And so I need songs that will really rile me up a bit and make certain that I won't embarrass myself by bursting into tears.
All righty. And Fred, what was going through your mind when you chose songs, the perfect song to prepare yourself for doing something hard?
Yeah, I was thinking it must be a song that gives you power, or at least some kind of agency that will help you deal with whatever you're dealing with. And my three songs range from high school, very easy issues, to later in life, much harder issues. And also they increase in years, I could see. The first one is the oldest and the last one is the latest. But I often play those kind of songs when I have to, not so much in relationship problems, I guess, but more like having to go and deal with the tax man or having to deal with home affairs for renewing your whatever permit. And, it's going to be a dreadful, dreadful thing. I mean, it's like things that you lay awake for days on end, knowing that you have to do this. And you know it's going to happen. And you know it's going to end as well. But you don't know how it's going to end.
I mean, I had one thought, which was, your natural instinct is to look for songs with like lots of power, that give you energy and vigor and confidence. But there's also a different approach, which is a song that calms you down. You know what I mean? But I mean, there's so many songs that calm you down. It doesn't really stand out. So, sadly. Anyway, so I also went for three songs, as you'll hear, which are sort of upbeat. So we're going to go, Fred, your first song. Let's take a listen.
It's obviously the Eagles. I don't know why that's obvious, but they sound like the Eagles. And it's a song from 1974, from their, I think it's their third album, On the Border, which might actually be my favorite Eagles album. I'm not a huge Eagles fan, I must say, but I bought this album when I was at high school, I guess. And particularly this song stood out for me. It was during exam time, and it might have been the final exams, you know, so I think that must have been a year later. And I wasn't bad at school, and I knew actually that I would probably pass quite well, but you never know, you know, there might be this complete blackout, or it's a problematic thing, because if you fuck up, you fucked up for good. You know, it's not like you can easily. Yes. So I lived with my parents at the time, and it was in Rotterdam. We lived in the flat, and we looked out over the River Maas, and the sun was shining because we had exams in spring and summer, early summer. And before I went to school, every day I played this particular song. And, you know, particularly the words like, I'm feeling strong and I will sing this victory song. Those were like, they gave me power. Later I realized it was about the guy had been deserted by his girlfriend or his wife, but he was already gone and he couldn't give a toss. What I also learned, what I actually never knew, was that it wasn't written by any of the Eagles guys. It was written by sort of country song duo writers, Rob Strandland and Jack Tempetchin, who I never heard of, but they also wrote Peaceful Easy Feeling from the first Eagles album. So, you know, during these podcasts, we learn things. But I still think it's a great song, and it makes me happy, and it sort of has bright colors. You know, some songs give you bright colors. This is one that does.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could tell it's an Eagle song by the lyric, My Girl. I don't think anybody would put the words my girl in a song these days. Anyway, so Joanne, did you like that? Are you an Eagles fan?
I'm not a huge Eagles fan, but I'm a sort of a secret nostalgic Eagles fan. Okay. And there's certain songs that take me back to eras and remind me of university and things. So I like them in that way. But I do like that song, and it does do the trick. It does make you feel strong, I think.
All righty. Well, here's one of your songs, actually in a kind of similar mode, The Drive-By Truckers. The Drive-By Truckers, you've won our hearts, Joanne. Fred and I are enormous fans of this band. So welcome. You're here forever. why this song?
Well, this is a song that could fuel a revolution. You know, the first time I heard it, I just wanted to stick my fist in the air and stand on the ramparts. You know, it makes you feel strong and righteous. So I think that's good for a difficult interaction. You don't want to feel doubtful. You want to feel strong and righteous. And this is a little bit ironic, since the song was actually intended as a commentary to kind of highlight how fixated right-wing Southerners in America can be. Now, I understand it was inspired by the successful civil rights campaign to remove the Confederate flag from the South Carolina Statehouse, I understand.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it riles me up. It
does have some sort of ambiguity in the chorus, doesn't it? I mean, compelled but not defeated, surrender under protest if you must. It's not an easy lyric to dissect, I think.
Yeah, but isn't that the song is so great? In a different era, it would be like that Bruce Springsteen song, you know, No Defeat, No Surrender. But it's a much more subtle version, yeah. Mm. So my first choice, I thought, you know, if you're looking for swagger, there's only one genre of music that embodies swag, if there is such a thing, absolutely without question, and that's rap. So now you know, if I'm being honest, I don't know a lot about rap, but this song was a breakthrough through song for me about rap because it was just so smart and clever. Anyway, let's take a listen. This is Eminem, of course. Back to the lab again, yo. This old rhapsody better go capture this moment and hope it don't do it. Lose its mouth in the music, the moment you own it, you better never let it go. You only get one shot, do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better lose its mouth in the music, the moment you own it, you better never let it go. You only get one shot, do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime.
Can I say something?
Sure,
I think, Joanne, the listeners can't see us, but we are pumping there when that song plays. We are rapping. We are doing all the stuff that these guys do. But Joanne didn't join us. I found that quite embarrassing.
I'm afraid I've just never managed to get into rap. So I think it's more for boys.
maybe that's true. I mean, there's a lot of women rappers now too, but I mean, what was interesting about this song for me was it was the sort of title track or the main track out of a movie that was really about his life, and the song is really about the movie. You know, it's very autobiographical, so as a lot of his songs are, and it's got enough of a melodic hook to make, you know, people who are interested in melody like me sort of prick up my ears a bit. But also it's about being beaten down and standing up and get beaten down and standing up and, you know, and just pushing on and all of those good things. I don't know. I love the song.
It is a great song. I mean, I'm also not so into hip hop and rap, a bit more than Joanne, I would think. But I remember I did some stuff for the radio in Amsterdam, and there was a female presenter, quite, you know, like not young, let's put it that way. And she loved that song. And we drove around Amsterdam at night, and that song was pumping out of the car. And it did have a sort of magical effect. I mean, you're driving there with a middle-aged woman in Amsterdam. This guy from Detroit is rapping about all kind of stuff that we don't really know anything about, except after having seen that film. And I did then feel the power of that song. And I think it's a good choice.
All right. Okay, talking about great choices, listen to this.
The repeat.
Now that wasn't a pumping song, was it, Tim? This was one of the songs where you said earlier they don't have to be all fist in the air songs. This was by The Replace, Someone Take the Wheel. And it's from an album called All Shook Down. The Replacements were one of my favorite bands ever. You know, if I had a top three favorite bands, The Replacements would be there. And they were basically a loser band. They always managed to make songs for losers, basically, people who didn't succeed in life, and they themselves didn't succeed as a band. I mean, they were never commercially successful, but they had a huge cult following, and I think these days they are really revered by lots of people. They were sort of in between punk and grunge, and they didn't fit into punk and they didn't fit into grunge. They were drunkards, and they sometimes were so drunk on stage that they only played cover songs, which they only remembered 15 seconds. So they played the intro and then they thought, geez, I lost. Okay, let's do another one. Anyway, but this one is from their last album. It was like their Let It Be by the Beatles. You know, it was basically played by Paul Westerberg, who's the main guy. And it was meant as a solo album, but then he thought, okay, let's make it a Replacements album. And the song is about being on the road, I guess, the dying days of a band. And he sings, "Someone take the wheel, because I don't know where we're going." And you do have that feeling sometimes when you completely lost your sense of direction, I guess, and you have to do something hard, and you have no idea how you're going to solve that problem. and somebody else must help you a bit. And then once you're on the road, once you're back on track, solutions will appear. So for me, this is a kind of song where I dread something, but to such an extent that I don't know what to do. And sometimes you come into those situations and, you know, somebody else has to help you with something, or there has to be maybe a sign from somewhere, and you're waiting for that moment. That's the person or the thing that's going to take the wheel and put you back on track, on the road to solve that problem. So that's it.
Okay, that's interesting. I mean, I like the fact that it's not a fist-thumping song, but I just wonder whether asking for somebody to take the wheel is really the answer to, you know, feeling terrible. And it's sort of like, I'm feeling very nervous about this job that I'm going to do. Why don't you do it?
No. It's about wanting to take control for a while to see okay. where it's going. And then you take control again. You got that wrong, Tim.
Okay. Joanne, what did you think?
Well, I do like The Replacements. That wouldn't get me going into a difficult situation, though. I think it would accentuate feelings of helplessness, which would not be the kind of feeling that I would like when going into a difficult situation.
So. All right. So now this is your alternative.
Yeah.
Oh my God, another revolutionary song. You are like so going over the ramparts.
Exactly, there I am, climbing
She's
over the ramparts, flag in the air, taking yes. the wheel. Yes, exactly. So I guess, I mean, I went to hear the New Model Army live with a new boyfriend about 20 years ago. And we were both, I think, feeling incredibly upbeat, and there were these rousing songs, and we felt excited, and that there was that sense of us two against the world, you know, taking on the world together. So it's retained that kind of feeling for me. Yes, and that revolutionary feel, of course, is accentuated by the name of the band, the New Model Army, the Standing Army of Oliver Cromwell. But it is really a call to arms, isn't it? It, you know, sure. makes me feel like I'm marching into battle. You know, we are old, we are young, we are in this together. Also righteous, you know, yes. the righteous battle.
I mean, it's an interesting song because it has this unusual, quite long intro, which is, you know, different from the portion that we actually played. It is sort of encourages you to, you know, to take on the world. I wonder a little bit about whether or not it's more political than personal. You know, it doesn't make me feel like I'm going to, you know, deal with something difficult. It's more like, okay, people, you go out there and, you know, revolt and stuff. I'll be right behind you, I promise you.
I thought, I'm surprised nobody's taken this as an election song. You know, like yeah. Trump and all these guys, they had like Born in the USA and what else did they have? A Fleetwood Mac song once? Was it Clinton? Clinton had a Fleetwood
You Can Go
Mac
Your
song.
Own Way? No, no, no. What was it?
But it was something like that. But this is, I mean, like if I were John Steinhaus of the DA, this would be my song.
Oh, really?
Well, because it banishes doubt. It's another one of those songs that makes you feel righteous, you know, we're on
the winning side, the right side,
the right side, yeah.
Okay, so now, so that's a kind of revolutionary song. This song is one of my choices. It's also another song chosen primarily by genre. I just think when you are, oddly enough, there's a version of the blues which makes you, which really does lift you and takes away the kind of clouds of doubt. Here it is.
Now, when I was a young boy, at the age of five, my mother said I was gonna be the greatest man alive. But now I'm a man, way past 21. I want you to believe me, baby. I have lots of fun. I'm a man.
Well, I mean, I think this is more, you know, about sex, for example. I don't think it was an accident that this song really was a big feature of that movie, Risky Business. I don't know whether you remember it, but it's sort of very kind of like for young men, you know, setting out. This is, I don't know, it just builds you up. I think it's a fabulous song. And it's a interesting song in itself because, you know, it was written by both Muddy Waters and Bo Diddley. So it has it's absolutely quintessential Chicago blues, long sort of history and pedigree. It's a great song, I think.
I also love the title. When I was young, I had no idea it's called Mannish Boy, right?
Yes, that's right. Sorry, I didn't mention. Yeah.
Not I'm a man, but Mannish Boy. Because I always thought, I'm a man, you know, like that thing. But Mannish Boy, and I thought, what is Mannish? Because you know, I didn't realize that that was, you know, I was like 16 or something, living in Holland. And then later I thought, oh, it's quite clever, actually, Mannish Boy. Oh. But it wasn't manic or something like that. It was...
No. I mean, he was sort of joking with the situation, which I think just adds quite a lot to the song. You know, I mean, he recognizes that, you know, this guy is, you know, not yet a man, and it's still a boy, actually. But he's acting like a man, and he's going to be a man.
It's aspiring. He's an aspiring. I'm
sure Joanne's got things to say about this.
I know, I really like the song, actually, but it wouldn't spur me into battle.
On account of the fact that you're not, in fact... a man.
Yes.
Or a boy, for that matter.
Or a boy.
But would you say it's a bit of a macho song, Joanne?
It certainly is. It's kind of this period, this generation, I think, that had to, you know, remind men that they had to be men in a certain way, which I think we're moving away from now, that sense that you have to be strong and competitive and not say sorry and so you have to be a man. I was just,
and have a large dick. I mean, I think the song is very,
exactly.
You mean.
Yes. So I think we're kind of moving away from that, happily so, but it's of its time, and it's still a great song to listen to.
When was it released? Do you know?
Oh, 64, 62, somewhere around there. I mean, very early in the 60s, I think. All right. So now that we've done with these men, let's see what the women can do.
Here I go, well, I don't know why. I feel so ceaselessly. Could it be he's taken over me?
Well, that's Patti Smith and Dancing Barefoot from 1979. So I was wrong saying that it was in chronological order. It wasn't. The Replacements came 10 years after this song, more or less. Anyway, So this is, you know, when you get older, you don't need so much those anthems anymore, I think. You know, you become a bit more, what's the word, level-headed, measured. And I always loved this song. It was from her fourth album, or I think it's fourth album, Wave. which also has the song Frederick, which I could have chosen, but I didn't.
But out of modesty.
It starts with Frederick and then this song. I mean, they're two great songs. I'll read you a bit what she once said about writing this song. She said, "I had the concept to write a lyric line that would have several levels, the love of one human being for another and the love of one's creator. So in a sense, the song addresses both physical and spiritual love. Truthfully, I always imagined Jim Morrison singing it, Jim Morrison of The Doors, which resulted in me singing and recording it in a lower vocal register. I wanted the verse to have a masculine appeal and the chorus to have a feminine one. Now, the song wasn't played on the radio. It could have been a huge hit because it's got definite commercial appeal. And she said the use of the word heroine with the E at the end, which of course is used in the context of the song as the feminine of hero, was objected to. It was suggested that I change the word heroine and consult the thesaurus for a suitable replacement. I am happy with my decision to let it stand as written." And then she says, "Dancing Barefoot has been recorded by several bands and it remains one of our signature songs and was voted by a margin of 400 votes by the people as my number one song." So there you go. It's a good choice, I think. And it gives me a sort of measured power, you know, not like, "Oh, rah, rah, we march, we are young," but more like, you know, I'm going to solve this problem. No matter what, I'm going to solve it and I'll do it on my own way. And it doesn't need big impulses. It needs a bit of talking, a bit of thinking, but I am going to solve it. So it's a song about growing up, growing old. I played a lot of Patti Smith when I went through a divorce. She really helped me. You know, her songs and Cat Power were the two ones that I played constantly. So there we are. I've gone through the divorce and Patti helped me.
I must say, I mean, I love the choice of Patti Smith, just as a singer who you know helps you confront problems or helps you do something difficult, because she just seems like that kind of person who is just sensitive but strong. You know, her whole character is just an embodiment of both, you know, this very odd mixture of shyness and bravery.
She did have a lot of anthems as well, of course. You know, Gloria was Gloria. And then she had Free Money, which is, it speeds up and it's sort of an anthem. But this one, for me, yeah, as I said, it's more of a grown-up level than that youthful exuberance.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you like it, Joanne?
I love it. I love Patti Smith. I really like that song. And it gives me that sense of strength, individuality, and a kind of certain measured quality.
Measured, that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, it's not wildly, you know, fighting on the ramparts. Exactly.
All right, well, this is Joanne's third choice, and it's once again, oddly enough, in the same sort of mode. Well, it's very direct. I mean, nothing's ever going to stand in my way. That should help going in to see your boss or to ask for a raise.
Exactly. This is a song that as soon as I heard it, it makes me leap up wherever I am and dance wildly with my arms in the air. I just love it. It makes me feel like I can take on the world. It makes me feel assertive, which is sometimes difficult for me, and confident, but it lacks perhaps that aggression. So it's assertive and confident, but not aggro.
Okay.
That's why I like it.
Oh, excellent. And I mean, Wilco, they're a class act. I mean, they're a beautiful band.
Yeah, But I would never associate them with that kind of song, to be honest. And I think it's a great choice, but they are not the kind of band that will push you into huge decision-making. I mean, they're always a bit, they're quite sensitive souls. I mean, Patti Smith has this commandeering voice and Tweedy doesn't. He's got a sort of doubting voice sometimes. Okay. But no, I have never looked into the lyrics of this song, to be honest. Are they about this, what we just talked about, what you talked about?
Well, the chorus line certainly is.
Yeah, but it's the opposite of someone take the wheel.
Yes. All right. Well, now we come to the last song, and it's the best song, I think, by Country Mile. Just take a listen.
You keep lying when you ought to be truthing, and you keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a-changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Okay, so that was Nancy Sinatra, of course, very old song. These boots are going to are made for walking. I mean, that's just undeniable. It's just great. I mean, if you have any kind of problem putting some boots on and just imagining tromping on people, I mean, what could be better? I mean, it's an interesting song. You know, Nancy Sinatra, very overshadowed by her father, obviously. But interestingly, this song was written for him. And I think just shows how thoughtful he was as a singer. He turned it down because he thought that a man singing it would just sound horrible. So
Yes.
And then so it was given to his daughter to sing at the time. She was quite young, but she pulled it off absolutely fantastically, and it sounded great coming from her. It's an interesting song, and you know, it's just been covered by hundreds of different people. I like the fact that it has a kind of historical significance, because I do think, I don't know, Joanne, you'll tell me if I'm just fantasizing here, but I do think it was part of women's liberation at that time. You know,
yes,
it
was. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
It's a very feminist song, isn't it? And it's like a feminist anthem.
Yeah, it is. And I do love the idea of that thing, that item of clothing that gives you courage. And as I was listening to it now, it flashed into my mind that many years ago, when I launched a first book in London, and I had to meet these very intimidating publishers, and they told me I had to go and open a bank account. And I walked very shyly and unassertively, looking young, into banks, asking if I could open an account. And they kept sort of just turning me away as though, no, go somewhere else. And I was freezing cold. And on the street, I bought a pair of bright red gloves that were warm. And I put them on and I went into this last bank. And by now I was angry and I was pissed off that no one would want to open a bank account for me. And so I was waiting and waiting, and then a banker came forth and in that archetypically English way said, "Can I help you?" And I just stood up and pulled the gloves off finger by finger and very slowly and sort of ripped them from my fingers and then gave them a little flap and said, "Yes, I want to open a bank account." And he said, "Come right this way," and sat me in a private room and opened a bank account for me.
These gloves were made for clapping.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes, and for signing. I mean, the other thing about the song, I think it gets extra points for introducing the word truthing.
Yes.
All right.
Now we come to the hard part.
Yeah, now this is very tough. And perhaps we should agree right from the start that in case of a split vote, Joanne will be the deciding vote.
I can be the casting vote.
But we should also tell her that we make two playlists on Spotify, and one has all the songs that have been selected, and one has the winner. So all your songs will be on Spotify on the Perfect Song For playlist anyway. So even if your song doesn't win, Tim, even if your song doesn't win, your song will be there.
All right. Well, can I start by volunteering that we scrap one song? Because I think we have to scrap the Muddy Water song because it's just we're in a different era here.
So we have a feminist anthem and a male anthem there.
yes.
Yeah, I don't mind scrapping Muddy Waters.
I think we did sort of generally raise issues with the replacement song. Both Joanne and I were worried about passing the wheel over.
So. There we are, confirmed once more.
So I would also say that we should drop New Model Army because we just don't want a revolution. I mean, we just don't.
it's a bit of an EFF anthem, isn't it?
yes. Would you make that concession, Joanne?
Yes, I'm happy to.
All right. And then I think, you know, unfortunately, I'll
volunteer. I'll drop the Eagles.
Okay. I'll drop Eminem because, you know, because we're not really rap aficionados. And it's the most obvious rap song that any non-rap aficionado could ever come up with. So, you know, not because I don't think it's a great song, but just out of embarrassment for us, I think we should drop it.
I think we should drop Wilco. Great song, but I think it's, you know.
All right. Yeah, I mean, Fred didn't understand what the lyrics were. So, I mean, that's always a bad sign.
I said I hadn't read them. I didn't say I didn't understand them.
All right. So now what are we left with? We are left with Patti Smith, Nancy Sinatra, and the Drive-Bys. Out of those three, I mean, I would just go for Patti Smith because, you know, I think she's owed it.
I was going to say I would go for the Drive-By Truckers.
Yeah, and I don't know how to make a choice between those. Yeah, I would go.
All right. Well, should we go with the Drive-By Truckers because we are so thrilled that Joanne should pick a song by a band that we think is fabulous.
and I'm sure Patti Smith will resurface somewhere else in our top three.
Yes, exactly.
Because she made so many beautiful songs. I'm not sure if the Drive-Bys will be there again. Maybe one or two, but let's go for the Drive-By Truckers.
All right, done.
Yay, thank you for choosing you won, my
Joanne.
Song. I'm so excited.
All right, so the only thing remaining is to ask what the next challenge is going to be. And Joanne, unless you have another idea, I think that falls to Fred.
I had a meeting with a friend this week. We met for coffee to discuss some things. And I said, how are you? And she said, I'm fine. Well, actually, we just had a burglary in our house. And then she talked quite long about the burglary. And, you know, they didn't steal a lot. They stole the laptop of her daughter. But it happened at 5:45 in the morning. And the whole family was already up and not yet running. But she would go running. And, you know, the whole frightening thing of having somebody in your house at that time of day and going around your house and stealing things. And on top of that, she went to the police. Her daughter is like a very shy little girl, 12 years old, I think. And the police said, are you sure she didn't steal it herself to buy drugs? You know, like, and you think, oh my God, what an idiotic question. But anyway, so I thought, you know, I had a burglary. I'm sure you've had burglaries as well. When you have to readjust to your life after a burglary, what would be the music that you play? So the perfect song for recovering from a burglary.
Okay. All right. Well, Joanne, thank you so much for joining us. It was just a real pleasure. We've never done a podcast with three people, but it's been too much fun.
Yes, it was great. Thank you so much. And you won.
And that one, yes.
And we will, no question, have you back again, I suspect, in the future. All right, everybody, thank you very much. Of course, we're interested in your views, whether you agree with us or disagree with us. Please.
Any other good suggestions?
Yep. And we're now on Spotify and all of the platforms. So please give us a shout. Our email is perfectsong4@gmail.com. And let's leave you with the winning song for this week.
Compel, but not defeat.